friend the front, hit your friend the back. Tell me another song. You don't know this song? You can tell. You don't know this song?
Who that?
Pretty Ricky? Closer, baby. I wanna get to know. You have to know fucking Pretty Ricky. I'm so over it.
I mean, I know who Pretty Ricky is. I can't say I got the album.
So, I'm not gonna lie. I think I'm putting myself in the mood because Pretty Ricky comes to New York November 20-something. And I'm still trying to go to the concert and I have no one to go with. Because they're like, Pretty Ricky's back together. I am obsessed with Pretty Ricky.
Okay.
Now I'm going to have to send you the album because I'm sure it would be great to make love to. It's one of those type of albums.
I mean, I
can't
throw it on in none of my movies. They'd sue the fuck out of me.
Okay, so. Well, you personal. Personal.
I only have sex on camera. I'm just playing.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. Anyways, guys, I wanted to say hi. Welcome to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. This is your girl, Mandy, and I am in the studio kind of solo. Weezy is still in Japan, but we had a guest who came up to the New York City area, and I was like, bro, we're getting him on the motherfucking show. She was supposed to call in, but she is super jet lagged, and she's been out there for like 2.5 weeks. So you guys just get to hear me and all of my rats, but luckily I have someone to cut that out, kind of, sort of. I guess I'll introduce our guest. We have King Noir in the building.
Yes, yes.
Do you want to let our listeners know kind of just briefly what you do? We're going to do a little icebreaker and then really get into the good stuff. But how would people know you? What do you do?
Well, I am one of the co-owners of Royal Fetish Films, royalfetishxxx.com.
Okay.
Jet Setting Jasmine, Body Altitudes, and some people probably know me from some music stuff. But I go by my actual name, Hassan Salam. So
okay.
Between all of that, you probably see me on X Video somewhere or Pornhub or whatever
favorite.
whatever your you know, jerk off spot of choice is, you know, where you rub one out to.
Okay,
ladies.
So and you do a little bit of everything in the industry. So we're gonna get into that. That's kind of gonna be the horrible decision, you being a man in the industry. We have yet to have, you know, anyone like you on, so I think we have a lot of questions to come forward, but we're gonna start with icebreakers.
Sure.
And so what we like to do with our guests, we either like to do would you rather or have you ever. Clearly I'm not gonna do have you ever with you because I don't think there is much you probably haven't done.
Hey.
So we're gonna do the would you rather.
All
and
right.
I got some kind of sex questions to make this fun. So would you rather only be able to have sex missionary or doggy style?
That's actually a really good question. I would actually say missionary.
Really?
If I had one choice. Because, you know, you could throw the legs up on the shoulders. That's still missionary, right?
Yeah, that's still missionary.
Okay.
That's so crazy because, of course, I love doggy style. I would probably choose doggy style.
I just think that missionary, if this is, like, for the rest of my life type situation,
right.
You know, the thing about missionary is, for one, you could look in your partner's eyes and be all romantical and stuff, but also it's good for clitoral stimulation and also hitting the G-spot as well.
You're very right. As soon as I said that, I thought of the intimacy level that differs between doggy style and missionary. And I guess you're right. I still like getting pounded on the back, but.
I mean, you gave me one or the other.
You're right.
That's a horrible choice to make.
This or that. You can't choose both. So here's a good one because you just talked about.
That's like some Russian roulette shit right there.
It kind of is. Well, all of these kind of are. So you just talked about clitoral stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
So the second question is foreplay only with your hands or foreplay only with your mouth?
Mouth. I love to eat pussy.
Okay. So, but you use fingers when you do it as well, and all of that.
I mean, yeah, but you gave me an ultimatum.
You would choose the mouth. Okay.
Absolutely.
So here's a good one as well. Would you rather give up sex for a year or give up masturbating? You said no.
Whatever that is.
So you would give up masturbating for a year. That was the other one.
I mean, I love myself and all, but still.
You said no.
I like the participation of sex. You
so
know what
you're
mean?
Not giving up sex
I'm
for
not,
a year at all?
I'm not.
What's the longest you would give up sex for?
Why? This is horrible. This is. You
it's
didn't tell me
decision.
About this line of questioning was going to be so horrible.
I know.
For the longest I would give it up for, I mean, just whatever was natural. Like if I was just in a space where I wasn't having sex at the time.
Okay. I know I go 2 weeks without sex and I feel like it's months. So I don't know about a year without sex. I'd be telling my homegirls, I'd be like, girl, I haven't had sex in forever. They'd be like, girl, you was just with so-and-so 3 weeks. I was like, oh, Damn, I was, wasn't I? I be feeling it. I be feeling awful when I don't be having sex. So now we're going to make it a little bit funnier. This is kind of going to be not as stressful, not as horrible. Would you rather cry every time you had sex or burp every time someone kissed you?
I'd rather burp because that shit would probably be mad funny at a certain point. And I have sex way too much on camera to be just crying all the time. That'd be a bad look. They'd be like, you're dang. Right. This motherfucker's romantic comedies are awful.
You're right. That's a funny one. For me, I don't even know what that one. Maybe the burp.
The burp part.
Well, actually,
would
you
be...
know what? I don't get recorded on film, and because I like doggy style so much, they possibly won't see the tears coming down my face.
That's a good idea.
So I think I'm gonna take that. I would rather cry every time I had sex. And so this is gonna be the last one. Would you rather find out that someone you fucked was your long lost cousin, or that they were a brutal murderer?
I'd rather them be a brutal murderer.
Than your cousin?
Yeah.
Does that count as incest?
Because if we have kids, they might have like web toes or a unibrow or something.
Wait, is that a part of incest though? Like cousins?
Yeah.
Does it go that far?
It is.
It's not just sisters, brothers, dad?
I don't be hollering at my cousins. I don't know how
you... I just didn't know if that counted because it's like, aren't cousins through like marriage and shit?
I don't even want to bark down.
Okay, we can't. Okay. I don't know how many generations. Okay, so incest is not cool. We know you're not here for that.
You know, it's a huge fetish online, actually. Incest porn is
a big
like
thing.
Doing serious numbers right now.
Really?
But they're not actually related. You know,
well,
I'm sorry
course.
If I ruined somebody's fantasy
you
out there.
Definitely ruined the fantasy.
That'd be crazy, though. People were like providing their birth certificates. And all
yeah,
that
no, I don't.
Family tree porn or something.
I would be lying if I sat here and said that I didn't kind of click taboo porn sometimes. And that would definitely be that. Unfortunately, and this is just on a sexual manner, I don't want to offend anyone listening, but I have this kind of rapey fantasy. You can't find rapey porn really, like it's really hard to find.
Yeah.
And just the idea of like, you know, maybe someone taking control. Yeah, it's just, and it's really a thing. We're going to talk about it. I'm sure it's going to be a kink coming up in the future, but I know it's just a real sensitive thing to talk about.
I think the thing is to say when you're watching porn, it's, you know, it's a controlled environment.
Yes.
So anybody that's on set, you know, they've spoken a safety word. They let everybody know what their limits and hard no's are and things like that. So even with incest porn, you know, it's still all okay at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Like it's enjoy the fantasy, but everybody's still safe.
Okay, good. Now, so what we like to do every episode is do a kink of the week.
All right.
I made the kink apply directly to you.
To me.
And so the kink for this week is flogging.
Nice.
So for our listeners that don't know, of course, we like to give the definition. So flogging is mainly an S&M terminology. Flogging is used to whip for sexual enjoyment. It says that a flogger shall remain for the moment any flexible many-tailed striking tool where the tails are simple strips of leather or similar substances designed for use on the human body. And so you brought...
I brought a couple.
A couple. This is... I guess I want to explain to the listeners how someone would find this enjoying, how you got into doing this, and if it's something that's requested, because I'm not going to lie, I'm looking at these right now, and I'm absolutely like, what the fuck is this? What's going on? And I've seen the videos of you doing flogging. I want to know how that... I can't see how I would be sexually aroused by it. So explain... You know, flogging for our listeners, if you can.
Well, I got started doing it, actually. I was at FetCon one year, and I saw somebody using this style of flogger. Like, I got two floggers up here. So this is considered a nunchuck or a swivel flogger.
Okay.
So I used to do martial arts as a kid, so I was like, oh, that looked like a nunchuck. I could rock with that. Like, but it's actually the precision of it I enjoy. And actually it's more of a thud than a whip. Like this right here is a dragon tail that has it's a lot more like the feeling you'll get from that is like if somebody rolled up a towel and snapped you with a towel. Like
that's
kind of feeling.
Okay. That can hurt.
This is like a double folded leather paddle. So that's more of a smack. This one is padded. So this side is softer. This side is harder.
So I understand the arousal from pain.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm getting fucked, especially from the back, I ask to be slapped on the ass. So I get that arousal. But the flogging isn't painful, correct?
It's more of a thud. So you use the perfect example. When we're turned on sexually, mm-hmm. you know, if someone just ran up to you in the middle of the street and just smacked you on the ass, for the most part, you'd be like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right. Right? I would hate it.
Exactly.
And it hurts more.
Exactly. But when we're turned on, our body starts to release dopamine and adrenaline that goes through our body that lets us know this is pleasurable, or this isn't, you know, something that has to deal with your fight or flight. So okay. with flogging, being that it's more of a thud, when we try it out, you know, I start up at the shoulders. There's certain places that you can hit, certain places you can't hit.
So what are those places?
I got you.
Okay.
So we start up at the shoulders, because the shoulders, there's muscle up there, and it's the closest spot to your brain. So when it starts releasing all that adrenaline and dopamine, it starts to relax you. So it's kind of similar. I think it's like shiatsu massage where they kind of do this.
Right.
It's very similar to that.
Okay.
So just that in itself is relaxing to people. So that's part of where the arousal comes from. And then when you work your way down, you skip all those vital organs. You don't hit the spine.
Okay.
Right when you get to meaty parts of the body.
So the ass,
right? The thighs. Some women specifically like to get flogged on their breasts.
Okay.
So when you get down to that area, there's something that we have down there, both men and women. It's called the pudendal nerve. It's for men, it's where
this
it's our
real scientific. God damn, I didn't know. You know, shit. Scientific a word. It is, right?
Okay. Nah, I don't know. But it's like for men where the taint is, or for women where the lady taint is, you know, there's a nerve right there that when it feels like vibes. It's the same kind of thing as when you get spanked, when you're feeling turned on, it sends that nice little shockwave through your ass and through your insides.
Okay.
So it's that same kind of feeling. So if you start getting flogged the right way, it starts sending them same kind of waves through your body. Just like there's a proper way to spank. Like if you spank up as opposed to spanking down or side, or there's different ways to send different sensations through the body.
So it's
rhythmic also. Like the same way you like getting pounded when that nice rhythm is going.
Right.
It's the same
thing.
Well,
I'm also really big on communication. Like normally I ask to be, you know, slap my ass. I tell them, is this something that normally a female would ask a guy to do, or is this something that a guy normally introduces?
It could go either way
with this. Okay.
It's usually a dom sub kind of thing, but there are people I know who like getting flogged that wouldn't consider themselves to be a sub.
Okay.
They just like the sensation and the feeling of getting flogged. And it could be something that for you who said earlier that you're not like really into being a sub or anything, you can still speak on like, if with the person that you're working with, if you're like, yo, I'm not, don't just tell me what to do or whatever. Like, you can still be communicative with your partner. Like, this is what I want to try. Please don't go past this limit. You
right.
know, when I work with people for the first time, I'm asking them what their pain tolerance is.
Right.
Or, you know, if let's say you have an injury, things like that. There's certain questions I'm going to ask you to make it a pleasurable experience.
Lethal Lips came on the show and we discussed the scene with you. And she actually said it was one of the most enjoyable but also mentally hard scenes for her because she's more dominant.
Yeah.
And she actually had to be submissive to you. How does that work? Are you ever submissive to a woman, or are you constantly the dom in the bedroom? Like, do you, you know what I mean? Like, as a man dom, are you always dom?
I think, well, the scene with Lethal, it was something that we both spoke about. It wasn't
okay.
like I just showed up there and was like, you about to submit. You
know?
It
right,
wasn't
right.
nothing
of
like
course,
that. It
course.
Was we discussed, like, usually with a lot of our scenes when we work with well-known actors and actresses.
She's well-known, yes.
You know, we like to say we want to try something that you've never tried before,
right.
or a fetish that you're really into that, you know, maybe you haven't done on film that you love in your personal life, to show the real honesty in your sex. So she was like, you know, I've thought about it. I kind of like that chain thing that I seen you use before. Like, so it was kind of like that. But me, I'm not a sub, but I do work, I guess, where you would say like an equal level.
Yeah, okay.
I don't sub, but there is a certain amount of power in submission as well, because a person who's a true dom, like I'm considered more on the sensual side of dominant. I don't dominate to cause injury or hurt.
Right, right.
That's not my style. I do it because I enjoy pleasing so much.
Okay.
So it's like I look at it like a blank canvas.
Okay.
So if a woman is willing to give me her body and allow me to just try to take her to different levels of pleasure and pain and ecstasy and all of that, then there is still, you still control the scene of having your safety word.
Right.
You still control the scene of even just being there and allowing me to paint this picture.
So you mentioned that you spoke with Lethal Lips before, you speak with everyone. So something that you do, you consider yourself a master fetish trainer.
Correct.
So I want to talk about what you do when you come into the bedroom with couples, because not everything you do is on scene. Correct. It's not on film. Not everyone can see what you do. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get into this part of the industry that you're in. Yeah. So couples pretty much ask you to help them in the bedroom.
Yes.
What do you do? How do they approach you about that? And what exactly do you do to help them? Are you fucking the couples or are you, I don't know. You do a lot of shit. So explain to our listeners what a master fetish trainer does.
Well, the best way to describe a master fetish trainer is everybody has a fetish.
I agree.
But a lot of people don't know what that is. They don't know how to discover what it is and they don't know how to live it. A lot of times there are people, and I think that one of the problems in the world that we live in is that so many people are sexually repressed.
Absolutely.
Like,
which is across, why we have this show.
Absolutely. I mean, across the board, I mean, women are sexually oppressed in this culture. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, individuals sexually repress themselves. And sometimes it's because of that oppression, and other times it's just because of how we were brought up or
just
things that go on in our head. So sometimes it's like people have this epiphany or an awakening where they're like, I just want to try things.
Uh-huh.
But if you don't know how to use some of these things that we have on the table,
right,
you could seriously hurt somebody.
Okay.
You know, if someone's just like, I'm a flog for the first time and, you know, I just hit somebody in the kidney. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to turn out good.
Right.
So one of the things that we do as master fetish trainers is guide people through trying out different items, toys, role-playing scenarios. One of my favorite things that we did recently, Jasmine and I worked with a couple where the woman was more experienced in BDSM.
Okay.
Like, she knew who she was as a sub. She wanted her man to be more dominant.
Okay.
And he was like, cool guy, like super chill. Like, he was just like, you know, like, but then like we got to speak to them and, you know, I'm talking to him and like finding out more about his personality and what he's into and his interests and all that. And I'm like, well, if you're into, he was into like a role play type game.
Okay.
And I was like, well, if you're into that in your everyday, then you could seriously use that in the bedroom in a more creative way to please your lady.
Right.
You know, and it's definitely, there are a lot of men out there who are like, I don't want to choke my wife or spank my wife because I don't want to hurt her. And I'm like, well, there's a difference between choking somebody to end their life, you know, and
right,
just choking them to add a little pressure, because it heightens orgasm.
Right,
or
right.
Some people like to have that feeling of having just having their air cut off for a little bit. There's different levels.
Me. I just talked about this on my IG live. I was like, I don't want to die because I got choked too hard during sex. That's just not how I want to go out.
But there's different levels to it. Like,
right,
some people are extreme and they're like, put a plastic bag over my head. You know, like, I really want to have
push
trouble.
Me in the pillow, same thing.
Okay. Have trouble breathing. And then other people are like, I just like a little bit of pressure around here. I don't want to bruise, you know, and there's ways to teach somebody,
right,
how to do that in a way that's not going to injure somebody.
Okay.
So that's one way. Another way is I actually engage in domination for them. And maybe flogging or spanking or whatever their role play scenario is, and I take them to the point where it's time for them to do their thing, and I'll make my way out.
Oh, wow. And so these are done whether in a hotel or in the privacy of their own home or something.
Correct.
Like that, so it's not done with a whole bunch of camera crews
people.
They literally call you to help them open up in the bedroom.
Yes.
And I think that's very important, not only that you do that, but just, I mention it all the time on the show, just the level of communication. Because if she was expressing that she really likes being sub and she wasn't getting that in the bedroom, I think that is what leads a lot of people to stray away sometimes from their partners and cheat. And because we
Absolutely.
Do all have these fetishes or we have these cravings sexually that we do need to have done, I guess, to get it out of our system, you know?
Well, you said the right word. Communication is key in any relationship. To make any relationship better, whether it be some BDSM poly swinger or your friendship or your relationship with your people at work, whatever the case is, if you don't speak on it, chances are it won't happen for you.
So let me ask you this question, I guess, before we had a ton of questions that our listeners sent in, but I guess I want to ask you, so you do the Master Fetish training, you do engage in porn.
Yeah.
Do you also provide services to women who would just want to hit you because they need sex or they want to experience what they're not getting
from
home?
Why are you trying to get me arrested out here? You're asking all these legal questions.
Well,
that's what
I
she'd be like.
No,
police just jump out the window.
Well, then I guess I can't ask them. So, what do most women ask from you? If they're reaching out to King Noir, what do they want?
I do erotic touch massages.
Okay.
I get a lot for fetish training because that's probably the main one now. Because people are interested in experiencing a dom sub situation or a BDSM situation where they're safe.
Okay.
Like, it's super easy to find me on the internet. It's really easy to know that I'm a person who, you know, even outside of the sex industry, who has a public persona. You can look me up. You can see that I'm, you know, if I was a creeper, I would not have been in this industry as long as I am.
I love that you kind of just segued into my next question without even having to ask you. So I wanted to ask what the misconception is for you being a man in the sex industry. I know that, you know, you being a porn star or everything involving sex, that there's kind of a stigma attached to it or a stereotype about maybe someone being a creep. So how do you adjust when you meet someone and say, hey, this is what I do for a living? Yeah, if you want to talk
I think
that, you're like,
This, it's funny because when it comes to porn, whether you're male or female, there's kind of like this, that's what you do? I would never do that. But then there's also their next sentence is he's like, anybody could do that. And I'm like, how does that work? Anybody could do it, but you could never do it. I think that people have so many stigmas attached to sex. So some people automatically, they find out I do porn, they think that, I don't know, like I'm just going to bombard them with dick pics or I don't know what it is. Like, and usually, or that I can't have a conversation outside of sex.
Okay.
Like, I wound up in this industry because I'm uneducated, or I wound up in this industry because I have like a drug problem or something like that. Like,
yeah,
that,
I heard a lot of them are like felons and can't get jobs. That's what I've heard
That's a misconception. I mean, I definitely in this industry have met people from all walks of life. The same way if I worked at, I don't know, Costco or something,
right.
You meet people from all walks of life. And, you know, there's some people I know in the industry who left like corporate jobs or jobs on Wall Street to do porn, you know, and then you'll meet women who were, I know this one woman, she was like a serious, like a ER nurse.
And
she was just like, the job got too stressful and, you know, she wound up in porn.
Wow.
And it's just like, so you'll be on set with her and she'll be talking about like, all kinds of things about the human body or we're talking about talent testing or something. And she's like, the talent testing, they do this. And this is how they check your blood and they separate the blood from the plasma and all this stuff. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And it's cool.
And she just knew that. Yeah.
And she just knew all of these different things. And I think that especially now in this day and age where anybody could make their own porn with their phone, you find people.
Have quite a few. Oh my, you know,
you know, like since anybody can do that, it's opened up the industry to even more people from even more ranges of
Well, yeah, there's
of
stuff
life.
Like ConnectPal and just all of these little apps that allow people to subscribe to specific
subscribe
people.
Subscribe to onlyfans.com/KingNoir.
Of course you have. So aside from the misconception and the stigma surrounding it, how is dating? And I guess this can segue also into you being polyamorous or open to that. So how is dating while being in the sex industry? Is it impossible? Is it harder?
I don't think it's impossible, but I find myself very much not dating civilians for the most part.
What's a civilian?
Someone who's not in the industry.
Ah, got you. You sound like my sister who's in the army.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't call us civilians.
But in the sense of, you know, I've probably been tested within the last month more than most people have in the last 5 years.
Okay.
Most people do not get tested.
No, absolutely.
And to me, it's like, I don't want to ruin my career.
Right.
You know, so that's very important to me. And then also just how when you get to those stigmas where, and it's funny, I actually get more stigmas for being polyamorous than I do for being in porn. But the main one from porn that I get when I meet women is that they somehow have to save me from being in porn.
Oh, that sounds like men trying to save strippers.
Yeah, almost. And I'll be like, I don't want to be saved.
So, okay, so you're not currently looking because you are in a polyamorous relationship, correct?
Looking for like a...
I guess.
I mean...
how does that work? Yeah, so I guess break down because we have... So I'm into kind of the swinger lifestyle. That's okay. Kind of what I would prefer. And Weezy is in some sort of open relationship. We've okay. been tagging as far as what exactly it is in comparison to, I guess, polyamory.
Okay.
So can you break down for our listeners what polyamory is and then how it works from the male perspective? Because we have yet to have a male on here who's polyamorous.
Well, polyamory just basically breaks down to loving more than one person.
Okay.
So I believe for myself, and this isn't something that, you know, I think all humans or whatever, like for me, I'm just the type of person I like to get to know. I like to get to know people. I like to meet women and like really know them.
Okay.
Which, you know, I've done the swinging thing and swinging is cool for me too. You know,
okay.
My partner Jasmine is more of a swinger.
Okay.
I'm poly. So I'm more like, you know, I'll go out on dates or go hang out with people that I like or whatever.
And I guess I'll break that down real quick.
And if we are, if we're really digging each other, then there is the possibility for having a relationship with that person.
So Jazz, on the other hand, when you say she's more into swinging, she's not looking for that emotional connection.
No.
As you are, which I guess to break down to our listeners, that's the kind of difference between the swinging and the polyamory.
Yeah.
Is these people... Not only are you engaging in sexual activity with, you do want to know them and like them personally.
Yeah.
As far as swinging, you're just like, okay, well, fuck, and I don't care to know your name. I don't want to know anything about you.
I think for me also, because, you know, I started off like going to swingers clubs and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But it's like now that I'm shooting more films, it's like that aspect of like, hey, hello, how are you? We get it in and we gone. Like
right.
I get that from work.
Okay.
So, like, if I'm going to spend time with somebody, you know, I'm not really just trying to jump into bed with them because, you know, I just also have this thing now where it's like I get satisfied on that aspect.
Of getting to know the person.
Yeah, I like that getting to know somebody level.
So, if we have a lot of male listeners, and I'm sure they all have this mindset too, that maybe they want to get to know multiple women.
Not all of them.
Some,
I know
I
some.
Won't say ex- all.
I think that's a misconception as well.
That all men want.
Yeah, it is.
I definitely think that.
I know a lot of men that are like strictly monogamous and happy.
Right.
Monogamous
for the men that.
But there are. But I also know a lot of polyamorous women. You
okay.
know, so I think it's a misconception to just group men are this way, women are this
women
way.
Women too.
I think that it's just society wise, it's accepted for men to be like that, and women aren't. Women are looked at differently if they're like that.
So if a man wanted to try this for the first time or feel like maybe he feels like he really relates to you and everything you're saying, how should he approach a woman? How do you approach women
honestly.
To let them know that honestly, of course, and just let
but
them know?
But most people don't.
No, you're
most
very
people
right.
aren't honest, whether it's monogamy, polyamory, swinging. Most people are lying their ass off.
You're very
so
right.
So I
okay.
think if you're polyamorous, for one, you have to be honest with yourself in the sense of, can you also have your partner go out and date other people and sleep
right.
with other people? Because it's not polyamory if you out there dating everybody and you forcing your significant other to only be with you.
which that happens.
You're
a lot.
Just an asshole now.
Now you're just an asshole.
Now you're just an asshole.
So from the other perspective, what is normally the reaction when you're meeting women and you have to let them know I do have a partner, but my partner allows me to have other partners? What is kind of the exchange when that happens? You let them know
where,
up
where
front?
I say, yeah, I let them know up front because I don't want to waste my time.
Okay.
Because you don't want to get like down the road and you're like, oh, by the way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's,
right.
That's one of the things that I think is problematic and why, you know, people wind up in these cheating situations because they're being sneaky with who they are.
Absolutely.
So I think this is where I run into a lot of the things, because I don't really date as much as I used to.
Okay.
Because I'm super busy with work and all this right? other stuff. So meeting somebody is very specific to me. Like I know what I'm looking for in a person. So, you know, if I meet a woman and tell her that, usually if their response is some kind of as if they're going to be in a competition with my partner, then nah, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm walking away from that.
Okay.
Or if they, I think most women don't get past a certain point because they don't see that it is, to me, like an inclusive thing. It's not an it's I don't want the women to have an issue with one another, because, you know, if Jasmine was dating somebody, I don't want to have a problem with dude. Like, we should be cool. You know, there shouldn't, not saying we got to hang out and shit.
Right.
But it should be at least respectable, because if not, then how are you honoring the relationship that I'm already in?
Right.
So there has to be a respect and an honor for the relationship I already have. And if it can't happen, then it won't happen.
So when I speak to a lot of men on this, they do exactly what you said. They think that they want this open relationship or polyamory relationship, but they're like, but she can't fuck other guys. She can fuck girls maybe, but not other guys. Mentally, where are you with allowing, I guess, I would say? How does it work? Yeah, how does it work
with any human being to do what they do? Anything. I am not interested in owning, controlling, or telling anybody what to do, except when we are in a dom sub situation. But in your everyday life, that's your business.
Right.
And you should do what makes you happy.
And so I want to
see a partner. Like, I want to see my partner happy as she can be, regardless of whether we have been dating for years, we committed, or we just met. I want that person to be happy. And for me, I don't think that one human at all times can fulfill everything another human needs.
This is
where the poly aspect is different, because I don't think it's just about sex. It's about just in general. Like there's certain people, like me and you might vibe on something like really well. We were just like, yo, all of our music is the same. And then you find out I don't listen to Pretty Ricky. And then you're going to have to go to that Pretty Ricky concert with somebody else.
Okay.
So why would I hate on somebody else going to enjoy what makes you happy? You know what I mean? Like that,
to me, that's what
it is.
Okay.
And it's not always sexual. Like I might meet somebody and we'll be cool and we'll vibe and we'll have some kind of emotional connection or intellectual connection. And we don't particularly have to have sex.
Right.
But we might have an intimacy with our conversation. Or we might have an intimacy with, you know, just the time we spend together. It doesn't exactly have to be about fucking.
This sounds really actually good. And it makes sense. And I actually feel like the huge problem with why people can't think this way, I guess, two factors, ego and insecurity.
Facts.
Because I've heard a lot of guys say that it would fuck up their ego to know that they can't fully please a woman in every aspect, whether it's sexually or conversationally, and then to know that they have to go out and get that from somebody else, that kind of bothers people. And then the insecurity that they're not perfect for this other person.
But I also don't think that, I think perfection is perfect in its imperfections.
Absolutely. Okay, that was just too
all
much.
Right. So,
ain't nobody too like.
Well, I'm just saying, like, nobody
too deep there.
nobody's perfect in the sense of like you're not gonna find someone that likes every single thing that you like in every single moment that you like it.
Agreed.
You're not gonna find that, but the person that you do find that you love or you lust or you have this passionate, intimate connection with, is perfect in that moment. It's perfect in that time that y'all are together.
Okay.
But like trying to think that, you know, we put so much pressure, and I think someone I was speaking to recently says that, you know, human beings put the highest value on intimate love with your partner.
Absolutely.
But there's all kinds of other loves that are out there. So enjoy all of the love, and then you won't put so much pressure on your partner. Because if you go hang out with like your cousin right now. I mean, I don't know, because no, we talked about cousins before.
I don't want to sleep with any of my cousins. Let me go ahead and throw that out there. I'm also not into incest.
I'm just messing with you. But like, you know, if somebody goes to hang out with their family member, you have love for your family.
Right.
You got love for your peoples or whatever the case being. You if somebody was like, I'm jealous of you hanging out with your brother, like, what?
Right, you know that's kind of crazy.
So it's, we have this thing that when somebody is in a relationship with us, that we possess them. No, and then absolutely. that's not love anymore.
So I have a question from a listener, but I guess I'm going to ask you to break it down. She actually said, do you engage in open or closed poly relationships? Do you know if there's a difference or what that even means? What's the difference between an open and closed poly relationship?
She might be specifically talking. I mean, I would think that if you're in a poly relationship, okay. Some people in an open relationship like to share
with their partner, okay.
Or tell their partner like X, Y, and Z. And other ones, it might be like, I went out. This is the person. We did this. That's it.
Okay.
You know, so maybe she could mean along those lines.
Okay, that would make sense. That would absolutely make sense to me. Okay.
It's funny because everybody's different. Like,
right. Like,
for me, like Jazz, she when she shoots a scene or something like that with somebody else, I'm like, oh, tell me all about it. You know what I mean? I'm like,
know.
I'm gonna go watch that shit when that shit come out or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very comfortable in that way.
Okay.
But then I know other people who are poly that's like, I just want to know that they're safe.
You right. Know what I mean? Because so even even in the swinging part of thing, I think that's the thing. Like, I've had guys say, I could never see you with another man. And you're sitting here saying you want to fucking see the scene when it's done. So
hell yeah. And I love it when she watch me too.
Mentally, is there something that you do to prepare yourself? Like, if a man did want to go to a swingers club or engage with a couple and there was swapping happening, is there anything, any type of advice that you would give a man to?
Same thing I said before. Be honest with yourself.
Okay.
You know, if whenever you're in any of these relationships, sit down with your partner, have a conversation about this is what I can do. This is what I can't do. This is in the middle for me. There's some gray area. We'll see how it progresses. And how you feel sexually today might not be how you feel sexually a month or a year from now. Like, sex is something that's constantly evolving. And that's one of the good things about just being alive and trying new shit, you know? So I would say, if you know you can't, don't pretend that you can, you know, especially when it comes to seeing your partner with somebody. And it's another thing, like, it's funny because all this always leads to like horrible threesome stories that I've heard from people where it's like, yeah, I was so into it until I realized like she really, really liked eating pussy and I was just sitting there by myself.
It's so funny because I think that happens a lot with threesomes where they think they're ready mentally, and then when they're put into the situation, it's just like, What am I doing? Has anything that, could you think of any crazy stories or anything that kind of rings a bell if maybe when that happened?
Like a crazy threesome story?
Either that or when you went to a couple and they thought they wanted to do the fetish training and then it turned kind of awkward. You have any porn stories?
We,
oh my God.
We vet people pretty well because it is such a personal, like we do consultation calls and all of that because sometimes people think they want something they don't. But I will say this. I was in the weirdest threesome. I was just talking about this with my brother. So, like, I have met this woman, and she was like, yo, years ago. And she was, like, trying to get it in or whatever. So, like, I showed up at her house, and she was like, so this is the situation. My man's in jail. He knows about you. He's on the phone. And he wants to be on the phone the whole time while we fucking.
Wait, what?
Word is barn.
Wait, seriously?
Word is barn.
I didn't
know what I was getting into when
threesome?
I got there. I mean, there was three people involved. I mean, he was via collect call from jail, but like it was different. Like, to me, that's another thing. And that's why I'm using this as an example. There are many ways to have a threesome.
Okay.
You don't have to specifically. You don't specifically have to do the positions that you always see in movies or whatever. Like, when you have your threesome, you might want to go in steps.
Okay.
You might want to start with kissing and oral before you ever do penetration, because just as some men get jealous of their woman, some women get jealous watching their man have sex with somebody else.
Absolutely.
So at least if you're like, I'm stopping this right now while y'all kissing, it's not going to be the worst thing in the world. So, I mean, but this was, to me, I have to get a brother some credit. Like, that's some creative way.
No, that absolutely is.
You know, that was a creative way to be there for your wife or whatever their relationship was.
But
it was just so bugged to me because it was like, I didn't know this was going to happen. So it was just like, in the moment, I'm like, what? Like,
that's really funny. So I guess we're going to segue this into our home mail. So what we do is we ask our lovely whores who listen to us to send us letters, either asking for advice or telling us something that's going on with them. And I thought that this would be a great one to ask you. By the way, if you guys do want to send in your home mail, you can send it to us at horribledecisions@gmail.com or DM us. But y'all becoming our friends. So between the memes, the letters, the thank yous, and the responses to our IG stories, we can't keep up with the letters. So guys, please send your letters to the email. It's much easier for us to access. So this is our home mail for this show.
Okay.
It says, hi, ladies. Right now, it's only one lady. Hey, girl. I am in my mid-20s living in Jersey.
Jersey.
You're from there.
Yep.
I have been in a relationship with my man for 3.5 years. We have pretty good sex, but I have a huge problem. I have some hormone issues. Luckily, it's not too serious, but my hormones cause me to have a very, very low / non-existent sex drive for most of the month. During my period, my sex drive is way higher, but I would prefer not to fuck on my period. Yes, girl, because that is a bloody mess. I hate bloody sex. My man knows about this, and he never forces me to do anything I don't want to do, but I also know a man has needs. Mm-hmm. I want to fuck him more often, but it's hard to get into it when my drive is so low. Sometimes I watch porn when we're engaging to get me going. I don't want to do this every time we have sex. Do you have any suggestions as to how I can get my sex drive up? And are there any aphrodisiacs that you guys know that actually work? Please get back to me. Thanks. I love y'all.
That's a good question.
Good question, right?
Mm-hmm. I would say don't spare the romance.
Okay.
And actually, what do you mean just that? In the sense of, I think a lot of times when we think about being in the mood, it's being like put on the spot, especially if she has hormonal issues and things like that. Just try to make it something that lasts. It doesn't exactly always have to end in penetrative sex.
Okay.
There's other ways that you can please him. There's other ways that y'all can keep that fire going instead of just kind of like cold turkey, like, hey,
I'm not in the mood.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I think that works. Definitely have him, you know, work at turning you on.
Right. And I guess I kind of want to add a question in there that relates to this. What about when you're maybe not done? What do you do if you have a partner who comes and then doesn't get back hard again, but you haven't been pleased? I know you're really into pleasing, but as a female, I feel like that's happened to me sometimes, mm-hmm. where I feel like even after sex, I'm going to go home or I have to masturbate to come. And I don't like the feeling where I'm not even being pleasured during sex. So for this is a sex drive issue. But what about for a man who can't keep up with your sex drive and they're giving you sex, they're just not giving you enough?
Well, I mean, there's other things you could use besides your dick. You know, you got a tongue, you got hands, you got fingers. There's all kinds of toys out there. I think that a lot of times when I speak to women who have issues with their partner pleasing them, it's that once he busts that nut, it's over.
Which, like, is a lot of
like,
guys.
Like
he
just pick up and leave or go to sleep or whatever, you know?
Yes.
But also it's like, if you know that you have like a time limit on your nut, mm-hmm. then more foreplay.
Okay.
More, you know, stop and start and take your time. I think that's one thing, especially if you're somebody who gets really excited, it's a way to kind of calm that down a little bit. You know, most men, I would think, know that feeling you get like right before you about to like, yo, if I do two more strokes, it's over.
It's a wrap.
You know, and when you get that feeling, that's when you fall back a little. Go, you know, use your hands, use your tongue, kiss her, find other things to do and play with. So that way, you know, your body will calm down again, because it will do so and you can get right back to it.
Right. Okay, so I have another question, and then this will be it for the home mail. But I feel like we had to catch up on it. So this is the second one. This is kind of different, kind of the same. I also want to shout out all of the fucking virgins that listen to us. Y'all are fucking the real MVPs. Nice. We get so many virgins that write into us, and it's just like, what? You want to listen to us talk about sex and you haven't even done it yet? So this is a letter from a virgin.
This is where they might be getting some ideas, or they can masturbate to this show so they don't have to go out there and lose their virginity.
The fact that people may be masturbating to us definitely creeps me out a little bit. What? But this is this one. Hello, ladies. I'm a 22-year-old virgin woman, and I have this major issue with sex. I'm not into anything vanilla except for white dick. I'm into both men and women in different ways. Okay. I'm romantically attracted to women, but sexually attracted to men. That doesn't mean I don't find women sexy. I just wouldn't fuck one, though I am capable of falling in love with one. Polyamory may be a thing for her. Awesome. When it comes to getting sexual with a guy, we discuss doing all types of taboo stuff. The more perverted and taboo a man is, the more turned on I get. After sexting a guy for some time and finally meeting, when it's time to get down, I lose my arousal and I have to leave due to my sudden lack of disinterest. What is wrong with me? Love, love, love the podcast. Wish you ladies all of the success. Nice. So Weezy actually responded to her because she wanted to get, people sometimes use taboo and weird and they're talking about spitting in someone's mouth. So Weezy actually wrote back to her because we wanted to know what level of taboo and weird sex she actually was turned on by. And she said, to name a few, rape play, incest play, age play, omurashi, don't know what that is, exhibitionism, anonymous encounters, pegging, and leash and neck, I guess, BDSM.
Okay.
So those are definitely taboo things, I feel like.
I don't even feel like that's taboo.
No.
I mean, I guess they file the incest and the rape.
And the rape play. And even pegging, to me, that's kind of not normal. I hate to use the normal, not normal thing, I know.
I'm just so, I guess, immersed in this world. That it's like I hear about all this shit every day. But I think when she gets into the actual setting, I wonder if that conversation she was having that turned her on in the first place is still continuing there. If you just get there and then it's kind of like,
and then it's like you're just fucking like a regular
fuck. Yeah, I could definitely see her losing that feel, like if she gets in person with somebody and they lost the character, or they don't have their strap-ons ready for the pegging or whatever.
Right.
I could definitely see that being a turnoff, because a lot of people after Shades of Grey came out thought that they were into BDSM just because of the way it was presented,
right?
Or a lot of people have kind of, it's been a good thing for how many people have opened up their minds,
right?
But then it's also bad because the way it was presented isn't actually how it is in real life at times. So
okay,
depending on, and I'm not saying this is her, but it could be another thing where just the actuality of it. I have a friend who she loves, not in the industry, but she loves. The only kind of porn that she watches is gangbang.
Oh,
that's it.
Okay.
That's all she watches, her favorite porn. But she's like, I will never be in a gangbang, but that's what I like to fantasize about.
A lot of women are like this.
So
yes,
it could also be that. Like when she gets there and in place, I would have to ask her a bunch of questions. I want to get on that email thread. I gotta ask her a couple questions.
That would be awesome, yeah.
Because the things that she's into are definitely things that there are other people out there that are looking for. And I could also see, if she's a virgin, she might also be like, is this safe for it to be my first time? And there's so many factors that is
Not only that, I wanted to say, so her response back was fairly long, and it's actually funny because she felt the need to say, by the way, I don't condone rape. By the way, I don't want to fuck my cousin. By the way, so even though she is turned on by this stuff, she definitely felt the need to let us know, I'm not rapey. I'm not, into incest. I'm not into all of this stuff. And so I feel like maybe she's not even fully comfortable with what she's into as well.
I mean, possibly, but I mean, just as you said before, though, these things that are considered to be taboo or not normal, it definitely makes people feel a certain amount of shame, whether they know they're into it or not.
Like, right.
Oh my God, did I just watch that? I was turned on by that. Like, is there something wrong with me that I got turned on by that? And that's why it's like, where porn can be helpful to people. Because it's like, this is something, you know, there are certain things in the world that are people, when we're in a car accident, people are watching the car accident as they go by. Not to, usually most people aren't watching to see, to check if someone's okay. They're right. trying to look at carnage or something. You know what
right.
I mean? Like there's a certain part of humanity that's just like that.
Okay.
And so sometimes when we do watch those things, like, oh my God, why did I just watch that? Why did I look at that? You know, it's that sense of danger.
Right.
Or just the sense of people think this is wrong and I'm doing it anyway. That can turn people on. So sometimes, you know, we bust that nut and we come back to reality like, oh, oh my God.
Oh,
you know?
Oh,
hold up.
So we also, in our home, I wanted to read this as well, because I think it just shows even what this conversation can do to both our male and female listeners. So we got a letter and it said, love you guys. Literally started listening to you guys a few days ago. And the first day I felt so unbothered and so sexually free from listening to you guys talk about sex nice. And just hearing how freely you guys think about sex that I decided to come out to my fiance. He's male and I'm female, but I'm bisexual. He's the only person I've ever had sex with, and he is incredibly open-minded sexually. Anyway, before I rant too much, I just wanted to thank you guys for that because I come from a West Indian family, so coming out to my fiancé, he's American, was terrifying for me. He didn't care and loved it. I'm looking forward to the threesomes we're going to have. I feel like a weight has come off of my shoulders. So thank you. Definitely will stand for you guys from now on. Thank you, bisexual, bilingual, and bipolar.
She got all the bi's covered.
And I just think that it's super great.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Well, while we like to sit here and make you guys laugh and entertain you, I definitely know that this is a conversation where you like you said, people are uncomfortable still with this. And luckily, books like 50 Shades of Grey have gotten people a little bit out of their boxes. And that's kind of what we hope to do with the show is do the same and get you guys thinking and have these conversations with your partners.
I mean, this world will be such a better place if people allowed their sexuality to just be free. I think
absolutely.
I think that's one of the things that we're seeing just in society right now.
Mm-hmm.
Of, you know, all these people are getting they
riled up over
they're not just getting riled up. People getting called out right now.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people are getting called out, and you know, this male dominated patriarchal society is being shaken, and then now you see, you know, all the tiki torches out there. They're getting scared of that, and you know, it's funny because like when I look at like Trump, for example, like whether the dossier is true or not, whether he likes to get peed on or not, he definitely hates women. Like he hates women. He thinks that women are only objects based mm-hmm. on his hatred for women. He can only see them in a capacity where they're beneath him,
mm-hmm.
because he. Not just a horrible human being, but who knows what kind of sexual issues that he has going
right,
on.
Right, of course.
And I mean, he's also extremely obsessed with a black man.
Barack.
He's obsessed right. with Barack to a level that's very, very,
very
odd.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's super uncomfortable for me. And I think that, like, you know, when you look at those two things together, I'm like, wow. Like,
I think there's some interesting
things that's going on. And you know, America and its repression of sexuality, and then also at the same time is overt use of sexuality for selling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the exploitation of sexuality when it comes to people of color, it just is
yeah.
all like hitting the fan right now.
Right.
Because it's also like when I listen to how these fans speak about NFL players.
Yeah.
You know, like I saw Brother's jersey out, and it automatically takes me to, you know, the way when, like when they burned Kevin Durant's jersey
for
and all
leaving
that.
Oklahoma,
whenever a white player leaves a team, they don't burn his jersey. So it takes you automatically to lynching. And what did they do when they lynched us? They would cut off our reproductive organs.
Right.
You know, so it's all coming to and just hitting the fan. And it really comes down to like, yo, people, I commend her for coming out of the closet. I think every single person needs to come out of the closet. Not
absolutely.
People think that only if you're gay or bisexual, you could come out the closet. Nah. As a straight man, you could come out the closet by saying like, yeah, I like to get pegged, or yeah, I like to be handcuffed, or I'm polyamorous,
preach,
or whatever it is that you are. And I think that that's one of the things now, that because women have taken a lot of strides in society to where, you know, first of all, having the same job, showing that a woman could do anything that a man can do mentally on the same level as men, and all these different things, a lot of men are feeling their sexuality is under attack.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, if she can do that, well, then how am I a man?
Or it's the masculinity that a lot of men are scared they're going to lose.
Sense.
And I don't understand why men are just assuming it. Things will demasculine. Or what is demasculate? Or what
emasculate them.
There you go. That word. God damn it. That word. But that specific word is always brought up if you mention even butt play with a guy or licking the butt or finger in the butt or pegging or anything that they can, you know, kind of coin as quote unquote gay. And it's just like, I don't understand where the emasculation comes in into all of these things. And I think that's
I always mess with people like when we have these conversations. I'm like, but do you masturbate? So why are you touching that guy? Because like people make everything gay, like to the point where I'm just like, I don't even understand this anymore. Like if you're doing that with a woman, then you're doing that with a woman, and that's your choice. And if you do have you're bisexual or you are gay or whatever, that's not the worst thing you can be. That doesn't make you not a man anymore.
Right. And which is what I said, and I don't even think people realize, like, there's a ton of masculine gay men. So this idea that your masculinity will be, what is this? Are y'all born with like a tag of masculinity? Why do people think it can be removed? I don't understand, like, because it's only within self, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have a masculinity level to everyone out in the world. I just don't understand why this is the issue.
Well, I think it's extra in America.
Absolutely.
It's very extra in America. And I think it goes back, and not to take it too, you know, history lesson, Egypt stuff, you know what I mean? But I definitely think America's like, you know, I got to have the biggest guns. I got to have the this, that, and the other to be a man, because men oppressed women here.
Right.
And now there's this guise of equality, and women are not having that bullshit no more.
Right.
So it's like, well, if we're equal, then how come I don't get paid the same for the same work?
Right.
So then now it becomes, well, if a woman makes the same money as me, I'm not going to be the breadwinner. And then how does that make me a man? Because I don't bring home the bacon and this, that, and the other. I don't give a fuck. I don't eat pork. So I ain't even worried about that. But it's just like, you know, but I mean, just
I like
in a
swine.
Sense.
I sure do.
But I mean, just yum, in that mentality that as the man, you know, you're still a man. You still have, it's funny, like they hold on, a lot of men hold on to everything except the honor part. You know, just if your honor is there, you're an honorable man, you a stand-up dude.
Right.
You know, and your wife making more money than you doesn't make you not a
stand-up
dude no more.
You just sounded real Jersey saying that, by the way.
What?
A stand-up dude, you know? Like, you just sounded real fucking Jersey with that. But no, I get everything that you're saying, and I'm so glad that you could come on and kind of break this down. We've had so many, I don't want to say it, but fuckboys on the show lately. And we've actually, people have been asking, can you have a real man on the show? And I definitely feel like you signify that. And
appreciate
you've been
you.
Able to help, I think, every listener with this episode and with everything that you had to share. So I guess what I want to do is, where can all of our listeners find you? Because they're gonna be searching now.
Please do. Please do.
your Google ratings are about to go up because they about to be Googling your ass. So where can they find you on social media? And I guess your website and all of that. Where can they
find
you?
You can find me on social media at King Noir. That's KINGNOIRE on all forms of social media. Then RoyalFetishXXX.com. Make sure you pay for your porn. Royal Fetish Films is co-owned by Jet Set and Jasmine and I, and we actually put cameras in the hands of women. Producers are women. So we have a lot of different, we have male cameramen and producers too, but we actually have a lot of women who help create our films. And that's one thing that is lacking in porn, because it's like, it's kind of like you watch porn and it's the same angles.
Absolutely.
It's the same,
I've noticed
everything
that.
Over and over again. And, you know, not, and this goes for men as well. You know, not all of us look at sex the same way. So definitely check out RoyalFetishXXX.com. We won 2 awards last 2 years in a row. Best full-length feature films at the Fetish Awards. Definitely go to JetSetAndJasmine.com. We do fantasy flight parties for couples, for singles, and then also private fetish training. So, you know, if you ladies want to have your bachelorette, dudes want to have a bachelor party, we do those. We do couples parties. We
do
swingers parties.
He does everything, guys.
We do everything that is legal.
Everything legal. We'll throw that out there. He accepts donations, roses, you know.
Absolutely.
But again, thank you for coming on. We are going to go ahead and include everything on where they can contact you in the
That's
description of this episode. And then we'll also be posting you once again once the episode drops to the Horrible Decisions page.
Where's your like ratchet page that I could send you all this naked stuff?
No, so guys, he sent me like all these videos of him in the action, and I'm like, I actually want us to be able to keep our page, so
I don't think I'm gonna be able to post Instagram. I thought y'all had like a Twitter or something too.
Oh, I do have a Twitter.
Yo,
well,
Twitter's
we don't
the
have a Twitter for the Horrible Decisions.
Because Twitter's
yet.
The Wild West. You could post anything on Twitter.
Well, then you guys follow
or Snapchat
me.
Or something.
You guys follow me on Twitter at Full Court Pumps, and I'll go ahead and post some of his videos that you guys can see. I can definitely post it on my Instagram. Also, I want to go ahead and let you guys know that these tickets for the motherfucking live show just about sold out. So we are super excited to be seeing you guys December 1st here in New York City for our very first live show. We want to send a great thanks to everyone who has purchased their tickets. We ain't think we was going to get all y'all hoes to show up, but now we probably ain't going to be able to accept all you hoes. So yeah, tickets are pretty much sold out. We just wanted to let you guys know that. And you guys are going to see us. I'm excited to see y'all. We even have people flying in. Shout out to London, Chicago, Baltimore, Atlanta, and of course, both of our moms are coming up from Florida. If you guys are coming from any other cities, let us know. We specifically want to make sure that we not only give you guys a great show, but we want to meet you guys personally because we appreciate y'all flying to fucking see us talk.
When I come back up here, I want to be on a live show.
We're going to have to get you on the live show because I think that Weezy wouldn't mind being bent over being flogged in front of a whole audience of 200 plus people. I think that would be awesome. I want to just thank you guys again. Again, you guys can catch us on just about everything. SoundCloud, iTunes, iHeartRadio. We're fucking everywhere. And follow us at @horrible_decisions on Instagram. Thank you guys so much. This has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions. Bye. Peace.